welcome to the Teachers on Fire podcast, where 21st century educators come to share, learn, and be inspired. We believe in the growth mindset, creativity, communication, critical thinking, collaboration, and strategic uses of education technology. Our mission is to share news and views from teachers who are crushing it in the classroom and making a difference for learners everywhere. I'm your host, Tim Cavey. Let's jump into today's episode.
Today I'm speaking with Roy Smith. Roy is a husband, father, grandfather, and English teacher. He currently teaches AP Language and Literature, as well as dual credit English composition, serving as the department chair at Round Rock High School in Round Rock, Texas, and earning Teacher of the Year honors in his district in 2014. Describing himself as an avid reader and a slow runner, Roy seeks to help all students realize their full potentials as readers, writers, and citizens of the world. Roy, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Are you ready to talk education?
I am ready, Tim, and thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, and it's an honor to speak with you. Why don't you start by describing your current teaching or education situation?
Well, I teach in a large 6A school in Central Texas. Round Rock is about 17 miles north of Austin. And we have a large school, 3,600 students currently, and we're going to probably 4,000 students within the next few years. We have a very diverse population, which makes our school interesting to work at and a lot of fun. This year I'm teaching AP Literature, and I also teach dual credit classes for Austin Community College on our high school campus. I teach for the community college at night as well. So in addition to that, let's see, I also consult for NIMSI, which is National Math and Science Initiative. Even though that's math and science, which are certainly not in my wheelhouse, mm-hmm. they also have an English subset. So I get an opportunity to travel around the country and do weekend sessions with AP students. So I'm keeping busy.
You are keeping busy, very well traveled, and that sounds like a good variety of course loads for you. Roy, tell us about a low moment that you faced in your teaching or education career and how you overcame it.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this question, and as a teacher, as a classroom teacher, you know, every day has its high points and some low points, and I had to quickly learn how to negotiate those every single day. But when I was thinking about a really low point, about 6 years ago, I lived in Texas for 4 years. I'm originally from California. And I was going along fine. I was teaching my classes. And then I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer.
Wow.
And as I was recovering from that surgery, I was laying on my couch in my home. And my assistant principal called and asked if I wanted to be the department chair. And so I think I was a little bit out of it at the time. But I said that I would do that. And the interesting thing about thyroid cancer is you have to go about a month while your body regulates and all this stuff. So for the first month as department chair and also teaching a full load, I was having a lot of trouble just negotiating my days. I was coming home and going to bed at 6 o'clock at night. I was sleeping during lunch sometimes. But it was really an interesting thing for me because when the kids would come in the room, I fed off their energy for the 90-minute blocks I have, and they got me through literally a month or more of teaching just through their energy, because the second they would leave the room, I would crash again. So it all worked out fine, everything, you know, cancer-free for the last 6 years, but that was probably one of my low moments because it was just so difficult negotiating my day and working with energy or the energy that our young people have, but in the end, that's what saved me.
What an incredible story, and I love how you credit your students for actually helping through that situation. I think a lot of educators, you know, when we're not feeling 100% in the classroom, it's like survival mode, but you really fed off their energy, and I love that story.
Absolutely.
Roy, what is it that excites you about education today? And you're seeing education from multiple levels right now. So what is it that really ignites your passion?
Well, I'm going to be working about 4 more years and I'm going to retire. When I say retire, that means not work as many jobs. But in this last few years of my teaching, what I'm really excited about is I'm seeing a real trend for kids taking ownership of their own education and their own thinking. And I'm excited to be a part of that. That's what I want to dedicate my last years to doing in working full time with their critical reading, writing, and especially their thinking skills. Oftentimes in English classes anyway, kids are trying to guess what the right answer is or mm-hmm. are wanting to guess what's in my head so that they can get the right answer and get the prize. Right. So what I'm trying to work them to see is, you know, to trust their thinking, to kind of honor what they see and what they think, and then to translate that into their writing. And once I get kids to that point where they go, wow, I have something to think about, and they start working with that and writing about that, that is just exciting. And mm-hmm. I'm really happy to be a part of that with my kids that I'm working with. And I'm hoping that translates. Right now, in all honesty, my kids in my high school classes are probably a year or two ahead of the kids that I work with at our local community college. And I think it's because of a different career path my community college kids are taking. So I'm, as department chair, I'm really trying to work hard with all of our teachers to try to emphasize this thinking approach instead of trying to just discover, you know, literary devices or things like that, but to actually, you know, find out what those things mean to them and extend them to their reading and see just how much they have to say. And so I'm excited about the opportunity at my high school to start this process more clearly at the freshman level. And I can't wait to see what they do when they get to me. I teach all seniors. And so the potential for that is really, really exciting.
That sounds fantastic. And I can't agree more. I think, you know, traditionally English teachers have leaned heavily on closed-ended questions.
Yeah,
sort of find the right answer. And I think we're moving toward opening that right up and exploring and just imagining new possibilities and new interpretations. So I love where you're going with that.
It's so fun to see kids get excited when they have something of value that they were afraid to say before, but then take a risk and have mm-hmm. something to say. So as teachers, when we encourage that and support that, it's really amazing.
Love it. Roy, outside of education, what's another area of passion and learning for you?
Well, right now, it's my grandkids. I've
okay.
got a nine-year-old and a six-year-old. And just like this last Saturday, we spent most of the day at the baseball field watching kids play. And that's really exciting and all the different things they're doing. That's the reason I moved to Texas in the first place, was to be near my grandkids.
Okay.
And so my family is very important to me. I am an avid reader, always have been. And so every spare minute I get, I try to read. I love sharing and learning what I have with other teachers, which is really a driving passion of mine at this point of my career. And believe it or not, in my reading habits, I'm reading a lot of science-y type stuff now, which is outside of my interest area when I was younger. But now as I'm getting older, I'm just finding a lot of interest in reading about different people in that area and also just the way our universe works. And so those are kind of the things I'm working on. And like I said, I run. I'm 62 years old now, and I'm certainly not running as fast as I once did. A little fatter around the middle. But, you know, I'm doing my best to keep hanging in there. So those are kind of my outside interests.
Well, I really appreciate that persistent curiosity. I can tell you're an innovator and you're still hungry for more learning, and that's really inspiring. Share about a personal habit that contributes to your success, Roy.
Well, when I was thinking about this, this is going to sound strange, but it goes back to my first job. And I was 7 years old, and I was a shoeshine boy. I had my own box, and I stood out in front of the chief's barber shop in my small town, and I charged 25 cents to shine shoes.
Okay.
And ever since those days, I think the thing, my personal habit, is I've been dedicated to hard work. I haven't missed a day of work in for being sick in over 40 years.
Wow.
And this work ethic has always really stood me in good stead over my lifetime, because I'm willing to put the work in. You know, and that's true even when I'm having some struggles or having some disappointments. You know, my wife always tells me that I can feel bad for myself for a day, but then I have to get over it and move on. And so I think it's my personal habit of just working hard and staying with it. And so that's what's really kept me going over the years.
Well, that is an unbelievable Ironman record, and that makes me very curious about your diet. And you must have
it's,
some some good sleep habits as well.
Oh, no, I've got a horrible diet.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to work on that, actually. I'm working harder on that. But I've got those struggles, too. But I try to take care of myself as best I can. Otherwise, I'm not able to do all the things I want to do.
Well, that is an incredible record. Roy, we're going to move into rapid-fire recommendations. So I'm going to ask you to give me a few picks here. Let's start by sharing about an education leader that maybe we should be following on Twitter and tell us why.
Okay, this is really hard because I have a group on Twitter who has changed the way I teach. It all started with Brian Stabnick's his Talks with Teachers group. And, such amazing teachers as Carla Hillier, Jory Crudler, Susan Barber, Melissa Smith, so many others. And they're an amazing group, and we've gotten together and formed a little team that we presented at NCTE last year, and we're presenting again this year. So I highly recommend starting with the Talks with Teachers group and then just expanding out.
Well, I will definitely make note of those accounts, and all of those can be found later on at teachersonfire.net. So thank you for those names. Point us to an ed tech tool that you currently love using in your classroom. And is there one that you see working especially well in today's English classroom?
Well, you know, I come from a time when there was no tech in the classroom. And so I've learned as I've gone along, but I'm using, you know, of course, Google Docs and Google Slides with my kids. And I love those apps, especially for reading, or for writing, because while my kids are writing, I'm right there with them and making comments on their work, so I'm getting feedback live. And just like today, we did a Google Slides presentation where they had their slide up front, and we were all talking about it together. And so those are really – and I'm using Flipgrid now and some other things to try to give them other modes of presenting and getting and connecting. And I also use Twitter in the classroom as well. We've had shared chats with other kids in other schools. And so some of my teacher friends will hook our kids up on a Twitter chat during the day when we're reading the same work. And that's been fantastic. And we did an author chat this year with an amazing living poet named Clint Smith. And he was gracious enough to have a Skype chat with all of my kids. And so that brought our reading of his collection to life. And so those are the things. And, you know, in my personal life, in addition to Twitter, we expanded to a Voxer group so we can talk to one another. And that group and people has really changed the way I teach.
Wow. All of that was really music to my ears. I'm a little bit biased as an English teacher myself, but I really like what you're doing there. And you're inspiring me to reach out on Twitter a little bit more with my students. I really like that. Roy, this might be a tough one. You said you're an avid reader, you're a constant reader, so recommend a book, or it might be a top few for you, but recommend a book that we need to be reading and tell us why you recommend it.
Okay, I'm just going to stay with the ones I'm just currently reading. I'm usually reading a few books at a time because I'm kind of an addict, but I just finished reading The Poet X, which Elizabeth Acevedo, who is a young adult writer, but this book should be in the hands of a lot of our kids, especially I think in the younger grades. Mm-hmm. And then personally, I'm reading a book called Beartown by Frederick Backman. Amazing book. I'm not really sure if I would use it in class, but this is one of my personal reads right now. Okay. And if I can add professionally, Thomas Newkirk's he's an English teacher. His newest book called Embarrassed, I think, is an absolute must read for all professional teachers in all subjects. It's probably the best PD book I've read in years.
Wow. Where does he go with that? Can you sort of summarize that in about 30 seconds, the Embarrassed book?
Well, he talks about the power of our voices as teachers and the things that we're saying to kids and the direct how we can change kids' directions in their life and in their education and how they see themselves just by what we're saying. And it really brought to my mind because, you know, oftentimes English teachers can be on the little sarcastic side sometimes. But, you know, sometimes that sarcasm falls flat if the kid doesn't know you and you don't know the child. And so it makes teachers very aware of the power of their voice and also how to better nurture and grow students and instead of saying things that are destructive to them.
I really like that. Roy, I'm always looking to add a little bit of professional reading to my bedtime Kindle time. Actually, speaking of the Kindle, Roy, are you now? You're sort of a veteran English teacher. Where are you with the e-readers, or are you still paperback only, or what's your take on
that? Oh no, I have all. I when I travel, I take my Kindle.
Right.
Usually at home, I'm reading a book, a paper book, but I have no, I love them both. The best part about the Kindle is I can hide my addiction. It doesn't pile up on my desk.
Exactly.
And so that's a great part. Yeah.
Yeah. Roy, if you're a podcast listener, share with us one podcast that we need to be listening to.
Well, like I said earlier, Brian Stabnick's Talks with Teachers.
Okay.
I think is a very interesting podcast to follow. And now Teachers on Fire. So those I listen to Tim Ferriss and some Tony Robbins and some others as well, but I'm really a fan of Brian's podcast.
I've seen him on there. I think I've heard an episode or two, and I'll have to give him a listen on my next commute as well. And then a couple of last questions here, Roy. Tell us about a YouTube channel that you enjoy, and this might be one that you use in your English classroom, or maybe just one that amuses you in your personal time.
Well, I funny because I don't really have a YouTube channel that I follow, but I always end up in class on TED Talk. The TED Talk channel is probably the one that is my go-to, but I'm using different YouTube videos often to try to, you know, get, like today I showed my seniors one about not quitting before you cross the finish line. And so I'm going there, but I'd say TED Talk is the one I end up at most of the time.
Excellent. And then finally, you're at the end of your day. Maybe you're too tired, Roy, to read, which sounds like that probably doesn't happen too often.
No.
But if you are relaxing with some screen time, what are you watching these days?
Yeah, I've been watching The Tudors.
Okay.
And I've been a House of Cards fan. And then for funny, I like Schitt's Creek.
Okay.
Which is funny. But truthfully, my go-to relaxing is to watch Big Bang Theory. I know that seems silly, but that's my favorite. Wind down, not think, and just laugh.
Right. That's a good one. Roy, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to come on the show.
Oh, thank you.
What is the best way for people to get to know you and follow you a little bit more?
Well, I'm on Twitter. I'm at English_Roy. And I do have a blog, and it's EnglishRoy.com, no underscore, just EnglishRoy.com. So those are probably the two ways that are easiest to follow me.
Fantastic. I have to say I've made a few visits to the blog, and that is some of the most thoughtful, well laid out analysis for the English classroom. If you are an English teacher, you must drop by. That's EnglishRoy.com. Roy,
appreciate
thanks
that.
Again.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Roy, thanks so much again for chatting with me today, and take care. All the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Teachers on Fire, where teachers come to share, learn, and be inspired. Please subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on Twitter at Teachers on Fire. I'm your host, Tim Cavey, saying goodbye for now, and we'll catch you next time right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.